Okay.
What came out?
Well, it came out, and this is really cool because I'm so glad it came out to this. Ghost Dance. I've never heard of it before, but I... Ghosts, and... Yeah, we've played the song Ghost Dance.
They probably do it better than I do. I can't dance.
Apparently there's no white ghosts anyway, then... Forget it. No. I got none.
God forbid if you dance like Scott.
Dance.
I know, but you thrash yourself up and down.
Yeah.
That's your dancing.
Well, let's find out what this page says. I'm glad it got to the G's, because ghosts are my thing.
Yeah, randomly.
Randomly got to the G's. Since the beginning of European colonization of America in the 17th century, Native Americans... developed a resistance ideology that was reflected in emergent millennial religious systems. Huh? Holy, that's a mouthful, yeah. It's causing me to choke on my own words. These new religions partially integrated and partially rejected the values of the invaders. The prophets of P.O.P. Schwa is an E with a... So
Pop
Schwa. It's either... Pope.
That's how that happens in your pants.
It's something like Pope of the Tewa tribe and Neil in a Delaware were the earliest formulators of such systems of millennialist resistance. In 1890, Wovoka, a.k.a. Jack Wilson, a shaman, quote, medicine man, end quote, who had received a millenarian revelation, began teaching what became known as the Ghost Dance of 1890. Now we're getting to the good stuff. The dance was an attempt to evoke the dead, whose return to the realm of the living would be accomplished by reinstitution of the pre-Anglo-American world. Influenced by the Christian religion of the invaders, the dance was a syncretistic blend of shamanistic elements, that is, evocation of spirits, a trance state, other indigenous practices, such as the peyote round dance, and Christian values, for example, prohibitions against drunkenness, murder, adultery, and lying, and concepts, for example, eschatological expectation of salvation. From its place in the origin in the plains, the practice of the ghost dance spread to other tribes, both to the west and the east. The large-scale practice of the ghost dance ended tragically in the massacre at Wounded Knee, South Dakota, where Native American men, women, and children were killed indiscriminately in the same year, 1890. So, it came and went in 1890.
So it was a very short-lived practice.
Excuse me, a very short-lived practice where evidently they combined a whole bunch of religious teachings and practices and put them all together into a ritual dance to evoke the dead.
Yay.
To invoke or provoke?
Evoke.
Evoke.
Bring.
It sounds like provoking to me.
Yeah, provoke. Poke, 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 poke.
I'm not touching the dead. I'm not touching the dead. Look at me.
Some of them are like...
Mom, the dead came on my side of the car.
Well, honey, I told you about the dead.
Dad, get back to your side. Look out your window. Oh, my gosh.
Children, cover your eyes.
How did this get to that? Anyway, so that's ghost. Interesting that it should mention ghosts, too, because I happen to be surfing the internet.
I thought you were going to say, I happen to be a ghost.
Well, eventually, but right now, no. I was surfing the internet, and I ran across a couple of interesting things. And this is really, I'm glad we're doing a potpourri show where we can talk about pretty much anything, because I ran across, and I mentioned one of them to Will the other night.
We have
the other
a call
night.
Coming in.
Oh, okay. Let's take the call, and then I'll tell you about the cool stuff.
This is Ghosty Talk. How can I help you?
Hey, this is Jane.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Jane.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I was just listening to your show, and I loved your comment about the Indian.
Mm-hmm.
The Indian, what did you call it again?
The ghost dance.
Well, this was the ghost dance.
Ghost dance.
Yes, we were reading about the ghost dance, and the Indians, I probably slaughtered a lot of the names, you know, because I was not very good at, you know, pronunciation of this stuff, but they developed a resistance ideology that was reflected in emergent millennial religious systems, and what they did is they took all these things together and combined and created a ghost dance to evoke the dead. interesting stuff, isn't it?
Yes. I was just, it's kind of along the same topic, but a little differently. I had been downloading a lot of Native American dance songs and
mm-hmm.
chants, and I found they're very, very similar, at least their beats are, to modern techno music. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that, and that all has to do with that trance state. They try to bring your, you know, your brain works at different frequencies, and from like 0 to 7 cycles per second. I don't know the exact term, but from 0 to 7 is your theta state, and then above that is your, I don't remember, it's theta something, and then beta, and then alpha, but I don't remember the one in between, 7
yeah.
to 14, and then 14 to 21, and then 21 and higher. That's the brainwave states. And, of course, most psychic stuff occurs in that second, the one up from theta. So
yeah.
it's the state that is, 7 to 14 cycles per second or kilocycles. I don't know what they are exactly, but
yeah.
It's that state just one up from theta. That's where most psychic things and hallucinations and stuff like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Dreaming happens one up from there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know. Well, it's our claim to fame here in Detroit, too, that a lot of people don't know.
Yes,
is that
techno
music
is.
Was invented in Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, this is where that's why we have the Detroit Electronic Musical Festival.
It's not called that no more.
They call it now.
It's called the,
something
it's
else?
Called the techno movement.
Oh, something techno
like
movement?
Oh,
because
no.
There's a big lawsuit thing.
that could be. It all happens. It all has to do with making you think in certain times and
yeah.
certain rhythms, so that you can evoke that trance-like state.
Well, I can attest to that because I went through this really big. Well, there is a form of techno music called trance, actually, and there's trance and there's goa also, and those are the two forms within that sub-genre, I guess you could call it. Where that's designed, it's actually written, engineered to put you into that state. Trance
over
music,
and
yeah,
over and
the
over
trance
over.
And goa type music really takes you. I know, as I was like in this, I was downloading like gigs and gigs of this stuff at work at one time, and I'd be playing it all day long while I was working, and I found myself at times completely just like I'd be like, you know, working. Just doing, well, yeah, okay, who am I kidding? I'd be sitting there doing nothing, and I would find myself just kind of trancing, just kind of...
It's like, why do you need ecstasy, then, with that
Well,
music?
That's what a lot of people, they use experimental drugs
with that
to try to see if they can find themselves, like, man.
Well, and everybody knows, that I think that is ridiculous.
Okay.
There's a lot of people who think that using drugs and stuff like that, along with your spiritual...
You just bang your head like I do for a half an hour every weekend.
You'll find yourself,
believe me, especially in the morning when you can't get out of bed.
So, but yes, Jane, I've noticed that, and I think it has a scientific reason.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there was more study on that, how music can induce, you know, trance-like states.
Well, it's an intangible thing, really. It's hard to study. It really, because you have to think about, I was actually thinking about this today when I was driving, about perception and things like that. I'll take one form of music, for example, and I might perceive it completely different the way Doug does. And it may phase me right out, but it may make Doug just go, this is stupid, I'm going to go walk away and do something else. It's really hard to study something like that when there isn't no solid basis on the bottom of it to work with. So
right, because it's in the realm of the psychological.
Yeah, and it's all
and
perception is everything when it comes to something like that.
Right, and that's why it's difficult. So, but thank you, Jane.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Are you enjoying the potpourri show?
Immensely. It reminds me of a Johnny Carson.
To an extent.
Wondering if, you know, Scott is wearing the silly hat and he's up to his
holding up the page
he
to his forehead.
He actually wore his hair today.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes he takes it off and leaves it at home.
But he wore it today, so it was really neat. But yeah, it's really interesting because this is a lot, this show is going a lot like how, like when we go out ghost hunting or when we go out and about, when we talk about topics, we usually talk about them fleetingly like this, very, very quickly, and learning a lot of small things quickly. So I kind of like this format tonight.
And
so I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There was that one thing I wanted to say. That was cool. That
yeah.
was really awesome because I wasn't going to tie in, you know, the thing with the music. So I thought that was really, really perceptive of Jane. Thank you. But there were these two things that I ran across on the internet. And they are casino games. And you had mentioned casinos earlier,
yes.
Right? But I ran across these casino games. They're slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
Slot machines. And I thought that they were particularly fascinating because they're relatively new. They came from here. From, I need to take my microphone out, so let me turn it off for a sec.
Speaking of Johnny Carson.
Okay, I'm back. And what I want to do is I want to read to you some of these casino games. Now, this is really, really important. It's not important, but it's really interesting because it means that what we're doing, we're amateur ghost hunters and we're amateur broadcasters, but we are, you know, we do this ghost hunting thing. That's what brought us together, right?
Right.
And it seems to be pervasive, and here's why. These two casino games, there's the first one that I've not seen. I haven't seen pictures of it or anything, but I've not seen this, but there's a new video game that was it was in a press release on February 2nd of 2004, okay? And I'll just read the quick paragraph about it.
All right.
It's a casino game called Ghost Island, okay? And you go there, it's just like slots. You put
I already know what it
in,
is.
Right?
It makes your money go bye-bye.
Yeah. It makes your money
you
disappear.
You have ghostly money.
Undoubtedly. But here's what it is. Ghost Island video reel slots are 5-reel, 9 or 20-line machines with a theme that features 2 spooky bonuses that will keep ghost hunters coming back for more. At random times during gameplay, and while the reels are spinning, a ghostly character appears across the video monitor, which begins the ghostly ghost bonus. The ghost bet and total line win are multiplied by the multiplier value. The game offers a multitude of other bonus features. This is multi-denominational. This is a multi-denominational machine from 1 cent to 10 cents. And then there was this other press release about a different but obviously related game. Otherwise, I wouldn't be mentioning it. It's by Atronic, and they're putting this in Laughlin, Nevada. Is that Laughlin? I know it's like related to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to Las Vegas in May, you know, so I'm going to have to check these out. But anyway.
I'm jealous.
There's a new game called Ghost Hunter.
Okay.
So we have Ghost Island is that new one, that
yeah,
other one.
Yeah.
This one is called Ghost Hunter. Ghost Hunter combines lots of fun characters like the Joker Ghost, Baby Ghost, and Eyes with a high hit frequency for an entertaining playing experience. That's all they say about this Ghost Hunter one. Let me put my microphone back. Hang on.
Well,
they're just targeting everybody.
But what do you think of that?
What type of game? I mean, does it tell you what type of game it is?
They're all slot machines.
They're just slots. All slots.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that. Those slots that have the multi-line, like kind of like the Harley machines.
Oh, with where you can bet 20 lines at a time or something.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
that's annoying. But anyways, that's awesome.
But I don't know. I think it's particularly interesting because. We started ghost hunting just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'd been interested, of course, in the paranormal for forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it really interesting that even video casino games
they're targeting all demographics, all different kinds of people.
I don't know how many geeks hang out at the casino, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know many ghost hunters who hang out at the casino.
I know I'm not rich.
Yeah, I know
and
me either.
Some of the ghost hunters I've come and counter with, they're not rich.
Right.
And so. Some that we've come and counter with are rich because of us.
However,
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
But I know that the...
I know what you're pertaining to now. That's scary.
But I know that
Hope he's listening, too.
I know that the... but I know that the casinos, they try to, you know, appeal to a wide audience,
yeah,
of course.
They do.
But at the same time, I think it's very, very, very interesting that that what we do as a hobby has achieved the notice
to be on a slot.
Of people who make slot machines.
What's next?
It's because they've been listening
clothing
to
apparel? What's next? Ghost hunting shoes?
Ghost hunting shoes.
Makes you run really fast.
Extra quiet.
Extra quiet and stealthy for catching that ghost. But
they'd have to be fast.
Well, you know, they don't have a particular line of, you know, ghost
Maybe
hunting
Maybe we shouldn't
accessories.
Go too far on that, because that might be some money makers for us.
We could start a
I've
little company.
I've given away so many ideas so far, I don't even care anymore.
Start a little company, you know, ghost hunting apparel with extra pockets or something, I don't know.
We'll tie bands in. We'll bring bands in also. We'll get the skateboarding thing in there, get extreme radical ghost hunting,
extreme
you know.
Extreme ghost
Because everything
hunting,
nowadays
yeah.
has to be extreme and radical
ghost
and crap
hunting.
Like that, you know.
Exactly.
So we're trying to, you know, extreme, we'll try to bring that whole edge in there. Like, you know, you see some guy alleying off a tombstone or something like that. You know? There you go. I mean, that's the way. I mean, that's
well,
how we bring
the
money.
Well, if we could get together with Scott of Scott K.
Yeah.
And we could sew some of those stagehand gizmos into clothing.
Yeah.
A whole new ghost hunting line.
Or just
awesome.
Have like a flashlight
you'll be nothing,
shirt.
You'll be nothing but pockets.
Yeah. It's all pockets from the top.
I mean, they already make flak vests. We really...
yeah,
we,
that's
we,
true.
We can market
true.
We can, but, you know, we don't need a flak vest. We can market it towards our own thing.
Right.
Except the flak pockets, they don't have any zippers on them. Ours will have zippers. That's the niche right there. There we go, guys.
There we go.
The idea.
There
Run
we go.
Run with it and get rich off of it, and don't give us a dime.
That's
we don't want
good.
Anything. Hey, Will, let's spin the wheel. Let's move on here.
Let's get to the next topic.
This little
Am I going to read the next one? Or
no
yeah,
whammies,
please.
No right, whammies, right. no whammies.
No whammies.
Oh, wrong game.
Oh, here, we got a page.
Yeah.
And this one will be particularly interesting, I think, to Phobos.
Ooh.
I know.
Crikey.
No, that's the wrong continent. Yeah.
Cheerio.
Time travel. We got the page on time travel.
Really?
I'm not even kidding. It says, in certain out-of-body experiences, OBEs, people sometimes seem to be able to travel backward or forward in time. In past life therapy, individuals also experience a sense of moving back in time, especially when they vividly relive certain portions of a previous lifetime. Past life past life therapist.
How do you spell that?
PASTLIFE. Past life. BLA. Past life therapists further report that when prompted, some people be able to tap, quote, memories, end quote, of future lifetimes, thus constituting a kind of time travel into the future.
That's a mouthful right there.
Oh, that's amazing. I was hoping, though, it would be a little more technological.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you know, your time travel machine and stuff. The one you get from Radio Shack.
Yeah.
TT-9000.
Kirby sells like 4 or 5 of those things out of the shop a day.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it's got a kicker box in it.
And
spinning rims.
Spinning
rims.
Oh.
You have to have the spinners on there.
So does it take out-of-body experience to do time travel? I don't know. I've heard theories that there are people walking among us who are from other times.
Mm-hmm.
And they monitor us.
Well, if you look at some
like
of these
that.
People,
their
you think they're other times.
Like the mullet.
Yeah, what's up with that?
The hairdos.
That explains the whole trailer park culture right there.
Scott, you're borderline mullet.
I am not borderline mullet. I have the same haircut you have. So mine's shorter.
The only difference between me and you is that you trim your nose hairs.
And you
That's
don't?
A matter of question.
Wait, you don't trim your nose hair?
No.
Carmen, do you want the next page?
I'm still hooked on phonics.
Okay, let's see what we got. Let's see if we get a nice one.
What's a nice one?
I don't know.
Ooh, look, a nice one.
I have to go.
Oh, my
now.
Goodness. How ironic.
Jeez, randomly. It's always random.
It randomly picked this page that has my name on it.
Oh,
isn't
how awesome.
Crazy?
Awesome.
It's how did that happen?
I'm serious. It was not planned. It's a fairly long thing, so I probably...
Just go to the first couple paragraphs.
Yeah,
it should
I'll
be
do
the
that.
Gist of it.
Heaven and hell. It says, every human society draws distinctions between right and wrong. Contrary to what the human heart might wish, however, adherence to good does not always bring reward, nor does evil always result in a yeah, fate. After after notations may allow for ad. I suck at this. Okay, anyways, at least the level of the imagination of the iniquities.
Iniquities.
No, it's iniquities.
Iniquities?
Yeah, iniquities.
Iniquities.
Iniquities. Yeah. Okay. I told you I was hooked on phonics. of this life by providing a realm in which the righteous are rewarded and the wicked are punished.
Oh, no. You know, we're going to get more of them emails because I've got lots to say.
I got a couple people in mind. Yeah. I can start naming off people in the chat.
The
no, I'm joking.
Wicked punish people or the rewarding
it,
people?
It says, in societies that postulate a progress of reincarnation, the righteous and the unrighteous may reap the fruits of their actions in future lifetimes. The possibility is most fully developed in Southern Asian religious traditions, in which the principle of karma,
ooh,
the moral law of cause and effect, ensures that even the slightest credit or debit in the karmic bang book.
Current bang book?
Bang.
Oh. Don't you have one of those at your house, too?
Yeah, it shows me how to bang. It's balanced out before individuals are permitted to close their accounts. In the...
I like the CPA approach they have to this. This is great. I mean, I like the...
I know, it's like a debit.
Credit and debit your sins all the way in until you cash in for the Almighty.
It says...
Thanks, you Alan Greenspan. We appreciate that. Sorry.
It says, at the end of history, and everyone is judged by the supreme deity. Subsequently, the righteous live in a renewed world, and the unrighteous are snuffed out.
Snuffed out.
Snuffed out. Ouch. Permanently?
Yes.
Okay.
And if it goes on reading... I'm snuffed out.
This
I can't read under pressure.
This reminds me. That whole passage reminds me of that high Catholic ceremony thing that I went to, because one of the things that they really harped on was that only Catholics are going to have eternal life. Everybody else is, you know, not. And I thought that was really, really interesting, because I was under the impression that my soul and your soul and Will's soul even are you know, start at the same, and yours even all starts with the same same slate. We go through the same experiences. We're on the same earth. We breathe the same air.
We're projected out of a penis.
Yeah.
It all happened the same.
Yeah.
We were all a sparkle in our father's eye.
And they're...
Exactly.
That's much clearer.
Sperm, yeah.
So, but they... but, you know, we all...
Quite colorful.
Start the same, and we all end the same. We all, so far, are going to die. And it just... But the soul... Only Catholicism, according to that three-hour thing that I went to, is the way to make your soul live forever.
Can
and I thought
can
that
I
was really,
that, can
really...
Can I give that an Archie Bunker, please?
What?
I'm so sick. I mean, no, I understand what you're saying, Doug. I really do. And the point you're making there, you know, Catholics have always believed that they're the only ones that are going to go to heaven.
Well, the thing is, the same thing at Muslims. I mean, most of the world is Muslim, and they believe the same thing, only you have to be Muslim for that to happen.
And the true path to free thinking, I think, is how it all ties together. Like I say every single week.
Thank you. Because how does it all tie together? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
Just to touch on what you said about the Muslims, they believe that everybody does time in hell for every little thing you do. It's
mm-hmm.
The goal is to get out of hell. And basically, looking at somebody, giving them a dirty look or whatnot, is a sin, and you pay so much for it in hell, and then you eventually...
How about overcharging at the party store?
That is a sin. If you look at some...
I don't know how many people have overcharged me at the party store, and I think that they're all going to spend extra time
they
there.
They do for everything. If you look at somebody's wife's butt, that's a sin.
Uh-oh.
That's a sin. That's why they wear the... And
I
don't want to...
Naming these off, because I'm...
80 years, I know.
But to give you an insight on this... The they believe in psychics. That's one thing that is kind of cool about the religion. As long as it's not for personal gain, mm-hmm. as long as it's for guidance. And somebody had channeled a really, I don't know his name, but he's an old-time Muslim religious leader. I mean, he was faithful to the Islamic culture and the mm-hmm. Muslim and everything. And
Muhammad.
He said, no, not Muhammad.
Some other one? Okay.
No, but that's another thing I want to say really quick. They think that they have a different God. Allah, it means God in Arabic. Mm-hmm. It goes right back to
what we were saying a second ago. How does it all tie together?
But the thing is that this religious leader, when he was channeled, said that, I mean, he was religious, like religious. Mm-hmm. He spent 78 years in hell.
Uh-oh. I'm doomed then.
No, forget it.
If I believed in hell, I would be there forever.
Right. And the reason why they believe that everybody serves time in hell is because they don't believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins. See?
That's okay.
That's where it's for. So anyways, we can move off that subject.
Okay.
Spin the wheel, please.
Spin the wheel.
Thank you, Karma.
And I wanted to say that I felt like Jessica Simpson reading that thing.
I'd like to thank you all.
Tuna, it says chicken of the sea.
What page did you get, Scott?
I got in the J's.
Okay. Jihad.
Jihad.
Shut up, Maria!
Great Dodgers!
God damn it.
Go down! I hope we bleep that.
We will.
Okay, what do we got?
Why did you say that?
I don't know.
Jihad.
I shouldn't have. What's in the J?
Jihad. Can I go now?
All
right. You were close. You were close.
What do we got?
Jivan Mukta.
Jivan Mukta.
I think the pronunciation is Jivan Mukta.
Okay.
You're my hero.
You like my tongue?
Jivan Mukta.
Jivan Mukta.
Jivan Mukta.
Sounds like some kind of coffee mix.
I have a Jivan Mukta.
Jivan Mukta.
Latte.
It's an espresso. Thank you. All right. Jivan Mukta. Also rendered as Jivan Mukta, Jivan Mukti, or other variations, is a Sanskrit term that can be translated roughly as liberation in life. The expression refers to the enlightened person who has been liberated from the bondage of the cycle of death and rebirth while still in a physical body. To understand this notion, one must first be aware of the Southern Asian religions hold that life in this world, a life that the process of reincarnation continually brings us back by the force of our karma, is painful rather than pleasant. I can attest to that. Thus, the goal of Hinduism, Buddhism, and other Indian religions is to break free of this cycle. A Jivan Mukta is an individual who usually, through various spiritual practices, has been liberated from the necessity of reincarnating. Thus, this person has been liberated while yet in this life still. Interesting concept. To break the cycle of reincarnation while still in life. Itself.
Well, okay. About the only thing that I can think of is I would think that, because I think that people reincarnate, and it's because, or souls reincarnate, and spirits and stuff. I think they reincarnate.
Recycling.
And I think that that's because, the reason I think that is because of, you know, what Edgar Cayce did in his body of work and what he said, even though it went right against what, you know, he believed in his own waking life, in his spiritual prophet sleeping life, he talked a lot about reincarnation. And so contrary to what he believed in his waking life. So I thought that was really significant. And so I really do think of reincarnation as real. So how would you stop reincarnating? And I think that...
Well,
that
they say you have to go through a series of spiritual practices.
Right.
And ritual after ritual, probably. I imagine it must be a grueling process.
Right, but I figure that it's got to be, you know, like you finally reach perfect spiritualism or something.
Well, yeah, how do you realize this, though? How would you realize something like that? You get out of bed and be like,
that's it,
I'm liberated.
I'm
and you, like, dance around the room and, like, the Rockettes come out and do their kick.
Yeah.
And there you go.
But I think that there are people who perhaps are at the end of their reincarnation cycles. And, for example, I think probably Mother Teresa. I think she probably was at the end. I think she was probably an extremely old soul, went through it all in previous lives, whether she realized it or not, and ended up, you know, just basically dedicating her entire life to feeding the poor and being filthy dirty.
I think the people that are at the end of their spiritual, their reincarnation cycle, are quiet people, honestly. For the sole fact that
S-O-L-E,
they don't
right.
have much to say because they don't need to say it. And when they do say something,
it's important.
You listen.
Yeah.
And I know people like that. You know people like that that I know like that.
Are you referring to me?
Yeah.
Of course.
With EF, those are the people.
Because I wasn't paying attention.
There's some people that are.
I didn't need to hear that. Yes.
There's some people that are much younger than me that seem so much more wiser than I do.
Mm-hmm.
They can sit there and just.
Scott B.
Okay, yeah, you said it. He's one of those kind of people, you know, our drummer, who just kind of sits there and he doesn't have much to say.
He's content.
But when he says it,
it's important.
And he's content also. He's content at anything he does. You look at the guy and you look at him in the corner, he'll be sitting in the corner of a room in the midst of like some ridiculous, like satanic, gross orgy going on in the center of the room. He'll just be sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, hey, dude, come on here, get involved with the satanic gross orgy, dude. Come on,
it's like I've done that 3 lives ago.
Yeah,
and
he'll be like, no, I'm fine. Hey, you want to come hang out? Oh, I'm all right, I'm fine.
I do not ever want to be a spider. I don't know if there's, like, different, like, in reincarnation, if you can only go so far down the food chain. I don't want to be a spider because I have wasted a lot of them away.
You think that perhaps if another one like you, human, comes along like you... your chances of surviving as a spider are really slim.
All I'm going to see is the bottom of a shoe. Yeah.
Well, that's something to think about, though. Look at the people that are around you, and see what they're doing. Like, see how they act. I mean, and that's I've thought of this reincarnation thing, and it seems like people at the end of this cycle, they're more or less they're wise, and when they say something, you listen,
because
what they say is always going to be the voice of reason in any group, and I know that for a fact. I know a person like that personally. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
I have a ways to go.
Yeah, I'm always running my mouth. So I think I just answered my question. Okay, Scott, are you coming back? Oh, for a long, long time.
I'll be back.
Let's spin the wheel here.
Spin the wheel. Let's see what we got. Unless it's time for a break. Let's see.
Well,
3 minutes. Yeah, we can talk about another one. This is hilarious. This little gizmo. If you guys should see it, we're not getting a webcam. No,
but this is our secret little thing we have down here.
It's a software that Doug has been working on.
Yeah,
that runs it. Doug OS. Yeah.
Doug OS. Sweeping the nation. XP, piss off. We don't need you anymore. We got Doug OS. It's operating system for you layman folk out there.
Micro Doug.
Micro Doug.
Hey,
Micro Doug.
I don't know if I like that. Yeah.
Are you guys ready for this one?
Do you know, that can be taken like 87 different ways, and I don't like any of them except for the most obvious, you know, hilarious one. The rest are all very, very bad. Okay, go.
Necromancy.
Ah, yes.
Necro.
What's her name?
Necromancy? I don't even want to start spinning off
my
anybody.
My friend, Nancy. Necromancy.
Necromancy.
Got a hell of a neck.
Necromancy Nancy. Yeah, she was a dead chick. Necromancy, divination with the aid of the dead, is generally condemned as evil.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do my death metal voice for that one?
Evil.
Oh, that was good.
Do your monster truck voice.
Evil, evil, evil. It dates back to ancient Persia, Egypt, and Rome, and is still practiced in some cultures today. In Greece, it signified descent into Hades. And quit honking your damn horn! Sorry about that. let me start that over again. In Greece, it signified a descent into Hades in order to consult the dead, who supposedly had great prophetic powers during the Middle Ages, when it was associated with what was called sorcery. It was believed to be widely practiced by magicians and witches. When a great persecution of witches occurred between the late Middle Ages and the beginning of the Renaissance, for instance, necromancy was one of the crimes which witches were accused of and burned at the stake. Numerous accounts of necromancy are mentioned in the Bible. We're going to still get slammed this week. I can't wait. And the Talmud, as well as in myths, legends, and literary works in cultures across the globe. One of the best-known necromancers was the biblical witch of Endor. Sounds familiar. Who summoned the shade of the dead prophet Samuel for King Saul. So, yeah, fun stuff there.
Well, what's interesting is divination with the aid of the dead. Do they really know the future and that kind of stuff? I mean, or are they the same as us, only in a different realm?
As far as dead folk go?
Yeah.
I think they are, because Kelly
mm-hmm.
of Enchanted Soul,
mm-hmm.
she gave my mom a reading,
mm-hmm.
and she had some information from my stepdad for her, for future...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
He told her to tell my mom to go to the doctors because mm-hmm. there's something wrong with her.
Okay.
Why she's not sleeping. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, but that may not be actual divination.
That's information.
You know, like, that could be just because he now has a different understanding or a different perspective on our realm. So he may be able to look inside or whatever and say, oh, I see aura issues
going
on. I
hope he's not looking inside.
Well, not inside. I mean, it's kind of gross. But, yeah.
I wonder, do ghosts, like, respect you, like, when you're getting in the shower and stuff?
Nope.
They don't?
If you ask them
not to, they
will? You know that
itchy
feeling you get on your back sometimes when you're in the shower for too long?
I thought that was my hair. No, I'm joking.
I won't. I'm on every hot chick's bathroom and just sit there and watch your shower.
No, but if you ask them not to, like,
what
is
that?
You're
going
to be a perverted guy.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I know you're going to.
Yeah,
oh, you know I.
I think
I don't even need to mention
ever
it.
Ever since Kelly has said that, yeah, you know, Jesse's at your house, he's watching over you guys and stuff, I'm like, I say, okay, if there's anybody in here, you got to leave now. I'm going to, get naked.
But I think that they see the issue is I think that once you are passed on and are deceased, you don't have the same inclinations. After all, you don't have the equipment anymore, right?
Yeah, I can.
And you don't have
no.
You don't have the hormones.
Oh, well, I thought you meant like units.
Well, you don't. Well, I mean, it's not physical.
I'm 10 inches long.
Or being molested.
Being attacked by...
I end up on sex again.
You mean being attacked by poltergeist?
Have you listened to anything in the chat room? They're asking, I wonder if two ghosts... Or wouldn't it be cool to videotape two ghosts having sex? What's the other one we see? Oh, do girl ghosts fake it, too, when they're passed on?
Well, what's interesting is the whole thing about not poltergeist.
Don't ask me.
succubus and incubuses. Yeah.
Succubi and incubi.
So succubi and incubi. The whole thing about that, I'm unsure that those are actual. You know, they could be demons, right? They don't have to be human souls that have passed on.
Yeah.
They could be demonic. They could also be some other kind of.
Like
otherworldly
animal,
thing. It could be animalistic. Or it could be a
ethereal bestiality.
Yeah.
Sick.
Sounds like the girl you had last night.
or it could be Or it could be a human soul that really just does not know and has an insatiable appetite for that kind of thing. But at the same time, they get nothing out of it because they are not physical anymore.
Then why are they doing it?
They get nothing out of it.
Well, okay.
It's habitual or sick or demented.
If you really want to get to the guts of that, maybe they feed off that. Maybe they draw their energy off that, because we all know that when
Sexual energy is huge,
especially at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And it is true. I mean,
so you wouldn't know, but the rest of
there is the entire sex magic kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of energy in
there's
sex.
A lot of energy being
what makes you think I would know?
You can go ahead and hit me if you want.
No, I'm playing.
But why did you get that 5 minutes later?
But, I was really analyzing it.
But the
why do you say that for?
But yeah, sexual. They could be psychic vampires,
yeah,
feeding off of
they could feed
the
off
emotions
that sexual
and energy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't see what they're gonna get up.
But they don't. Yeah, they don't have the physical bodies anymore to be able to reproduce or to achieve the actual orgasm or anything
like
that.
Like what you're saying, maybe they're getting like they're feeding from it. What if like there's certain things?
I said the O word.
Big O.
What if there's certain things like, okay, say like I die and I pass on, and there's like over in that realm or that world, there's certain things that you have to do to get things to happen for you over there. Like say like instead of like eating or whatever, what if it's like you have to like find it in sexual contact with someone living?
See, no, you're
like kind of like survival.
But you're thinking in terms of this realm.
I guess you would
and
say
even,
that.
Yeah. Even the bartering system, like, oh, in order for me to do this, I have to do this other thing first.
Yes.
And as much as I rag on Konstantinos, right? One of the things that he said actually makes a lot of sense is that when you are in the other realm, the other realm is what you make of it. It is not the rules are you cannot imagine the rules. I can't imagine the rules because I'm here, and if I try to think of the rules, I'm going to think of them in my own just absolutely sick, sadistic, twisted ways, because I think, you know, when you get paranoid, and you paranoia is, if you're overly paranoid, it's a sickness, but there is a survival part to paranoia. Why are you looking at me?
If that is true what you're saying about, like, it's what you think of that it's going to be.
That's what Konstantina says, and I believe
it. The party is at my headstone.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll be there. And, but no, it's.
Would that look creepy?
Yeah, that would be really.
Put keg sitting on top of your headstone. Radio blaring in the morning.
That would have to be bring your own keg.
Yeah, bring your own keg.
I drink whiskey.
There you go.
She does. Lots of it.
Cool. So
I had him last night with her for about a brief half second.
It'll be sounds like it'll be a big party.
Yeah,
but no, I think that you can't even imagine the afterlife and the contact that Konstantinos has had with it, because he wrote that book, Communicating with the Dead, things like that. What he has surmised from it is that it's what they make of it. It has a completely separate set of rules. Mm-hmm. There is no more of the, you know, ooh, you know, if I can do this, they can do that, and they can do this, and I can do that. It's none of that playoff, trade-off kind of stuff that we have to experience here in the physical world.
Yeah.
I will tell you guys after the show about the dream I had just a couple of days ago.
Okay.
About it, about what I had, about the afterlife. Okay. It put me into perspective of it. But I am totally, just by having this dream, I'm comfortable with dying right now.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, this sounds cliche, but really, I don't think anybody's very scared of dying itself. It's how they're going to die that people are concerned with.
Oh, I know somebody who's really obsessed with having to die.
Not knowing what it is. But after, I don't know. Well, anyway, I'll tell you guys later. Okay. But it made me feel at ease, and I'm kind of excited.
Well, hopefully you'll put that excitement off for about 40, 80, 100
years.
Who's
going for the machine, dude? Who's going for the machine?
Oh, we're getting another page? Yeah. Here comes another page.
This thing's running on its own now. It's just going to control it. Who's got a leash on it? Just all right. Imagine this.
Uh-oh.
Imagine this. Fear of death.
Oh, my God.
How did that come out?
Do you know, I
randomly, billions and billions of odds on something like this, and we get fear of death.
This is amazing, because that's...
Whatever you read's not going to change my point of view.
But that's amazing, because we were just talking about that.
Yeah,
so I wonder if it's got some kind of sensor.
I don't know. It says fear of death.
That's family karma.
It's fear of death on the bottom of the page.
But I didn't understand... I mean, I didn't understand some of the wires when the kit came in.
Yeah.
You know? So, something must be a sensor. It must, like, hear what we're saying. So, all right, what do we got?
Let's see what happens.
Fear
of
death.
Let's just... Will, you okay?
Did you pass out?
You look kind of depressed.
I'm good.
he's dropped in like twice in the show. The first time was to be as perverted as possible.
And then the second time was so mute. I'm good.
I'm fine.
I'm alive.
How was your day today, Scott? Oh, I hope you had a wonderful day.
Fear of death. Let's talk about it.
Oh, boy. Did you mic that?
You turned on my computer.
Will mic'd his pelvis.
Well.
That's a new one. That's a new low, I think. Ooh, the mic in the pelvis. Nice. Let's get some duct tape.
Think about that ghost sex of, you know, 30 years.
Yeah, that got me kind of hot, too. I mean, well, you know. And then I looked at Doug and...
Okay, ghosts are dead.
I'm sorry.
For the very, very most part, like, these are elderly women.
Bring it back up. This guy's mad.
My penis will live on.
Sorry, if you donate it.
Now I'm beginning to fear death.
You can actually watch the ticker go, like my fans were losing it. It actually just spins in real time. Fear of death. Everybody shut up about the sex stuff and penises and all that disgusting stuff. The notion of some sort of continued existence after death has been assumed worldwide in almost every religion and society, and ghostly talk.
I was saying that.
However,
it is a psychic machine. Yes.
However, increased understanding of natural science and subsequent expansion.
We have a phone call.
Okay. I'm trying to read here.
Hey.
Who's this?
This is Tracker.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Tracker.
Hey, guys. What's up?
We're talking about fear of death. Listen to this and then chime in on fear of death.
Yeah,
okay?
Chime in on this, okay? Okay, we'll just start here. However, increased understanding of natural science and subsequent expansion of scientific explanations of natural, let's turn this page around, phenomena since the early modern period of the West have made it possible to conceive of reality as completely a physical realm, requiring no spiritual agencies, to explain the world as we experience in our everyday lives, or to suggest continued spiritual existence after corporeal death. There was no damn period in that whole paragraph.
That's horrible.
I nearly ran out of breath.
Well,
there's agencies?
Apparently. This will put it more into perspective right here.
Okay.
Many people have come to embrace contemporary science as the role arbiter of truth, despite its rather dismal picture of human life as devoid of ultimate purpose and meaning. Some individuals in this camp, especially those who had unpleasant experiences with religion in their childhood, are harshly critical of anything that suggests that the human being might be something more than a physical, chemical organism. In particular, belief in any kind of afterlife is dismissed as wishful thinking motivated by fear of death. That's a bit slated.
It's kind of harsh.
It's a bit harsh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of harsh.
Exactly. I don't see the point myself. I see it two ways.
Yeah.
It's simple as this. Okay, if these guys are right, then okay, then people are worth zero, and then in that case, I don't need to care about anyone. Screw everyone, then.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Basically, we're all just more...
It's a negative viewpoint. I mean, if life sucks like this, if life has no meaning or anything, then that means I can just shoot anyone, I can kill anyone.
Yeah, we're all just bags of water.
It doesn't mean anything. You know?
What meaning is there? I mean, if there isn't anything more to us than just being biochemical furnaces,
yeah.
You know, advanced organisms compared to, say, a fly, what's the point? What are we doing here? What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
And there's things to think about. I mean, there would be nothing to think about. There would be no ideas. There'd be no freak thinking. There'd be no creativity.
They also lose that spark of life.
Yeah.
Like, you can clone people and stuff like that and make cells and, you know, do kinds of things like that, but there's that spark of life, that soul element or spirit element.
Exactly. There's never going to be two Scott L's.
Right, I hope.
They don't have the genes. They don't have the genes to run two Scott L's. That's the bottom line.
Have the genes of rock, Scott.
What? Yeah, you have the juice of rock.
Oh, yeah. I have the juice of rock.
Rock.
You don't say rock, you say rock. Like that.
But yeah, it's for sure. I think that they missed out on a huge portion of a huge observation that there is that spark of life that cannot be reproduced.
And I hate to drill on Carl Sagan because I think he's a brilliant man. I've always respected everything he has, but he was very narrow-minded in that aspect in a lot of ways. He was very stuck. Sometimes he was a thinker too. Don't get me wrong, but when it came down to the bottom line, when he had to deliver answers to people, be like, "Look, science explains everything. There's nothing else but science. What I can prove here with this paper and pencil, with this data that I have, I can transfer this into information and give you the answers that you need." And that's when it came down to it.
And I've seen things that I think are unexplainable by science. So I don't know.
Exactly.
What about you, Tracker?
I've felt things the same way.
Yeah, Sagan. Yeah, I saw he has his books up, you know, in the library and stuff like that. It's stuff like, you know, the demon haunted world. You know,
great book. Great book.
Well, about, saying, mocking people who believe in, the afterlife and God and all this sort of stuff,
But at the same time, you have to think, he does make some very good points in that book. He goes through I forget which chapter it was, but he does go through explaining, look, we've cured diseases with science. We've built beautiful structures with science. We've changed things with science. He makes a lot of very valid points. Yes, true hard science did find the cure to,
polio.
Polio. It did find the cure to polio. I agree with that. And that's fine. Let's leave that there. But there are things going on outside of these things that can be treated by hard science or explained by hard science that we cannot explain with hard science, unfortunately. There's no answer to it. That's why we say it's about every week on this show, if you want to get into the paranormal, it's a great field to get in because you can be an expert and still not know a damn thing about it.
It's true.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's interesting. I think science has done a lot of great things. I agree that we've done lots of great things in the physical realm, and that's what we've done. But like I said, science is science.
Science is science, and we have done a lot of great things.
It's on the physical to have a basis on it. If it can't get to other realms, then they can't figure from there because they have no access to whatever spiritual realms are out there.
With observation. Science starts with the very first step in the scientific method is observing. Observe something. And if a scientist doesn't observe, a paranormal phenomena, to investigate, to form the next one, the hypothesis.
Exactly.
It's just not going
to
happen.
All I ask is for them to think about it for a second. That's all I ask for some people. There's some people that just won't do it, that's fine, but that's all I ask of certain people is to just think for a second. Observe it, like you said, observe it. And just look at it, from a scientist's point of view. Go ahead, use your brain the way you want to use your brain. But don't totally close it out.
They do, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm not slamming on scientists, because there are brilliant minds out there have done things that are completely mind-boggling. And I tip my hat to them. I'm not knocking them, but there are some people out there that I have talked to personally that have been, I don't want to hear it.
And Winston Wu wrote a paper about those folks.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Brilliant paper. Tracker, what do you think? Sorry, man.
What?
Yeah, we keep cutting you off.
I'm sorry. It's been one of those weeks.
Guys, I see myself, I don't really need to fear it. I mean, what happens, happens. If it's true that we're not worth anything, well, then that's fine. That's life. Can't do anything about that. But it's just like, if we're worth something, then we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people are worth more than.
But that's the bottom line right there. You just said it, Tracker. That is the word itself is basically what all of us out there chasing around things in cemeteries and going through houses and going to these abandoned sites and doing all these insane things. We're trying to find the truth. Bottom line, truth. And I smacked the table. So I meant that.
Good.
But no, we're trying to find the truth. We're trying to find the truth about that. Unfortunately, we're dealing with an intangible subject here.
Yeah.
So truth is very hard to deal with. But that carries into all the things we talk about on this show, too. Aliens, conspiracy theories. I mean, we've really spread out over the last couple of years. And they are all in quest of the truth. Trying to find out what the truth is. And the truth is out there. Sorry. Bad. Hey, there's not. But the only way to get to the truth is observing, first of all.
Right.
And then take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
I just spent the last week and a half obsessing over a completely stupid situation, a meaningless situation, and I bumped into somebody.
Well, it was not meaningless to you.
Not meaningless to me, but by a layman going, God, what's this guy talking about? He just saw somebody he hasn't seen in a while. But I thought about it. I observed it. I observed everything around it. And I'm going all the way back now. I talked about this earlier in the show. I'm going all the way back now 7 years to try to figure out what's going on. Because I want to find out what the truth is of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, Scott, I read that. That was extremely interesting. I have to say that coincidences like that do happen. And I can't explain them either. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's just like, suddenly, and stuff like that has happened. Where I'm talking and thinking about someone or someone. And then they call the next second or a couple of minutes or...
Well, yeah, and you don't know what's going on in their life. What led them to that point?
Yep, true.
I'm going to call Tracker. I'm going to call Tracker and say hi. I mean, it's another one of those little situations. But, I mean, that's one situation in billions that happen every day probably that we all go through. And I honestly think that, I mean, the difference with what I went through is that I really paid attention to it this time. I didn't just blow it off. I actually am paying attention to it. I'm conscious now. I like to say I'm a bit more enlightened nowadays. That's why I pay attention to things like this. And I know we all do in this in the haunted basement here. We all look at these things. When something strange like that happens, we acknowledge it now. And some people just kind of blow it off like, oh, this happens all the time. No big deal. We acknowledge these things. That's one real important thing that Peter Novak told us. It was we talked about thoughts that went through your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's some things that go through my head that I don't want to acknowledge. He's like, no, acknowledge those things. Acknowledge them and go, okay, there you are. Now go away. Acknowledge it. You know, don't do it.
Some of those thoughts.
No, it'll get you incarcerated.
Some exactly. of them.
Yeah, believe me, there's some things that go through my head every day. Oh, yeah, they're absolutely horrendous. They're bad.
You won't say where you work either.
but I acknowledge them and go, you know what? That's cool, but I can't do that. Go away. And that's it. And some people won't even do that. It goes back to the observing thing. Observe that thought. Observe what goes through your head. And then just go. Don't do it. Because I'm talking about bad things. Now, there are good things that go through your head, and they might be cool to act on. It just depends on what your judgment's like, which I hope your judgment's good. And I'm speaking to everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know anything. But, you know, I'm speaking to everybody now. Observe these thoughts that go through your head. Go with it. Go with it. Run with it. What is that?
So
playing monkey see, monkey do.
Okay.
So, well, Tracker, did you have something to throw out at us? Another potpourri thing to talk about?
No, not really.
You want to talk about death, huh?
Death is cool.
I want to say hi, Tracker. I finally get to hear the voice behind the typing. I've chatted with you a few times.
That's cool. Yeah, you're talking about in the chat room, because Tracker is often in the chat rooms. If you go to pioneer.rollo.net and click on the text chat link,
mm-hmm.
Or ghostlytalk.com, there's a Java IRC chat thing, but you have to be a member of the site.
It'll toss you right in there.
Yeah, or you go to the undernet on the IRC network.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Cool. See you in chat, Tracker.
Thanks, Tracker.
Thanks a bunch.
See you soon.
Bye, Tracker.
Bye. And let's see if there's another one.
Do we have another one?
Well, can you push that button and...
Yeah, see what happens.
I'll see what we get. Yeah. You want me to do one?
Yeah, go ahead and pull it out and see what happens. Okay,
this is a tough one. This is really interesting.
Oh, is it stuck again? Will, it jammed up.
No. I was just looking at it. I don't even know if I can pronounce that one. You know, let me turn this page over and see what's on the other side.
Let's just recalculate it. Run the algorithm again.
I like that family karma thing. I was wondering what that was about.
We can take that page. But no, let's. It gave us this page. I'll read from this page.
All right, you find it.
Yeah. Right. This is a really long page, actually. It even continues
that
on the back.
That looks like it's going to be good.
But
what's it about?
Because that was brought up in the chat.
Day of the Dead.
Yeah, somebody was talking about...
You gotta say a death metal. Say a death metal.
Day of the Dead.
Can I try it?
Go ahead.
Day of the Dead.
Oh, wow. That was really good.
Yeah, that was nice.
All right. Let's
I was
talk
a male
about,
before.
Let's talk about Day of the Dead. The Day of the Dead, or All Souls Day, refers to a yearly holiday in which the dead are honored by various practices, including religious rites, feasts, special foods, and even songs and parades. Typically, the Day of the Dead is celebrated as a time when the departed and the living come together for a celebration or to share a meal.
This sounds familiar.
The purpose is to remember the dead and often to placate them for the rest of the year.
What better reason to celebrate, huh?
Such ceremonies are ancient, and they continue to be practiced across the globe. In many African traditional religions, the spirits of the dead watch over their living relatives and intercede for them with other kinds of divine spirits. To appease the dead, their families hold feasts for them and sometimes offer animal sacrifices. The meal is viewed the meal is viewed as a kind of communion between the living and the dead. Hindu ancestor rites take place over the course of 10 days, during which time the soul is offered food so that it can survive the journey through 10 hells. Also, on the first new autumn moon, the head of every household conducts rituals commemorating the departed of the preceding three generations. The traditional Chinese, in particular, conduct ceremonies in the autumn, summer, and spring for the spiritual as well as the lower animal soul of humanity. The lower soul is placated so as not to disturb the living descendants, and the spiritual is asked to watch over and aid living descendants. The most important of these ceremonies is the two-week Hungry Ghost Festival. Now, there's a name for a band or a new show, Hungry Ghost, which occurs in the fall. According to tradition, the departed who have no living descendants to feed them become hungry ghosts. During the festival, food is offered to these ghosts, who are represented by lamps made of lotus flowers that are carried in the streets and by candles in tiny boats that are put into streams at dusk. At dusk. The Feast of the Lanterns, the Japanese Day of the Dead, called Obon, takes place between July 13th and 16th. Departed souls return home during Obon and are offered food and entertainment. I'm going to skip to the day we designate as Halloween, All Hallow-E-N or All Hallows Eve, was formerly a Day of the Dead for the ancient Europeans, a day when the veil between this world and the other world was thought to be unusually thin. The present date of All Hallows Eve was set by the Catholic Church, which took over the ancient Roman Day of the Dead, Feralia, and transferred it to the 1st of November. The Catholic All Hallows Eve blended with certain Northern European beliefs to give the Halloween familiar to most Americans in its current associations with the powers of evil. The tradition of the costumed children going door-to-door asking for food is an echo of the ancient practice of providing food for the spirits of the departed. And then they go on a couple other pages.
And now they get razor blades in their candy.
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to go to the next one. During the next day, All Saints Day, the children consume the food that had been offered to the Angelitos, I don't know. A larger feast is prepared for the souls of the older dead, who are expected to show up around dawn the next day. Interesting. I never heard of that.
The
food for this celebration is spicier and the altar is larger. And then it just goes on more of the same. So, no, really, it's just different beliefs and stuff. So, Day of the Dead, our Halloween, and a whole bunch of other things. The Hungry Ghost Festival, different times of the year and stuff like that. Interesting stuff, isn't that?
Me and my cousin were just talking about the Day of the Dead and the veil being within us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We were just talking about that last weekend.
Evidently, according to this, that's very, very European.
And if it wasn't in that book, I was going to comment on that. But that's like when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Isn't it interesting?
I just heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so it comes back around.
So they have like a big... It's like
coincidence.
A pig roast festival.
It's sounds like it, yeah. In some places.
See, that'd be a lot more fun for Halloween to be asking nowadays.
Well, I think it's a lot. I think Halloween's a lot of fun here. We're in case you guys are listening from overseas, we're in the United States. We're near Detroit, Michigan, in the Haunted Basement Studios of Fraser, Michigan. That's where Ghostly Talk is done. And here we celebrate Halloween on the 31st of October or something like that. And
give or take a few days every year.
Well, in Detroit, the city burns for
the
like
city
three
burns
days.
On the 30th. Yeah,
it's like Devil's Week now.
It's Angel's Night now.
Angel's Night. Yeah. Isn't it cute? But the it starts the day before Halloween. Halloween is the 31st. The 30th is Devil's Night, they call it, although now they've changed the name to Angel's Night in order to help quell the burning of the city.
They're doing the city good. I'm sorry.
I completely agree.
They're working these firefighters and putting their lives in danger, but they're burning the yucky houses that need to go down anyways.
Mm-hmm. Things that the city won't do other times of the year.
Why don't they have a party? Why don't they do a burning party like on Devil's Night and just burn them up?
And burn a lot of the former crack houses and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Get them out of there.
But
in actuality, though, it gets to be a bit dangerous because a lot of the,
yeah.
it's kind of
they're not
down
controlled
there.
Burns,
they're
right?
Not controlled
right.
burns. Get on there, you burn a house down next to some other guy's house who actually lives there.
Yeah, and that's where it gets dangerous. Yeah,
his house smells like soot for the next month. He's not too happy about that, unfortunately. Devil's Week around here. It is Devil's Week.
It
got to one time. I mean, speaking from people who have lived here in the state for pretty much our whole lives, there was one time in the late 80s, early 90s. Where it was very bad here.
It was
to the point where they were burning down the whole city almost. It was just about as bad as the riots in 69, I believe.
As a lot of newscasters will say that it was very embarrassing.
Very embarrassing
for our city because it was like every year the fires were getting there was like it went from like what 50 fires to 213 fires.
Yeah,
it was like they were competing with
that
like
seems a bit
LA
more traditional than like. Pumpkin basket and a plastic costume.
Well, the thing is the tradition of Halloween here in the United States is that we go around. Oh,
yeah, we're almost done.
Nice.
Ouch. Okay, yeah, we have to make way for W Paranormal, don't we?
Yeah.
We go around. We beg for food and stuff like that. So a lot of that. There we go. We just rounded it all out. The Afterlife Beliefs and Phenomena, Encyclopedia of Afterlife Beliefs and Phenomena, by James R. Lewis.
Yeah. And we're going to keep that book in the haunted basement here.
In case somebody asks us a question, we don't know the answer.
Yeah, we can just go over to that.
Look it up and then, there we go. So I hope you enjoyed the show. It was potpourri of all kinds of phenomenal stuff.
Our new little toy we have.
Great colors. We had Jane Jane called in and Tracker called in. So we appreciate that. With that, I have to remind you, all the action happens throughout the week on Pioneer Radio. That's pioneer.rolo.net and on ghostlytalk.com, of course.
May is going to be a month of interviews again.
More interviews. Awesome.
We got the whole month booked up. I have to update it tonight or tomorrow, whenever I can.
That's awesome.
We're going to have it all laid out for you guys and so you know what's going on for the rest of the month for May.
Excellent.
So on that note, I am Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I am Karma.
And we'll see you next week, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.